Testimonies of George Mueller. Part 3. He allows this apparent death blow to come upon the whole. But thus I have found it hundreds of times since I have known the Lord. The difficulties, which He is pleased to allow to arise, are only allowed, under such circumstances, for the exercise of our faith and patience, and more prayer, more patience, and the exercise of faith, will remove the difficulties. Now, as I knew the Lord, these difficulties were no insurmountable difficulties to me, for I put my trust in Him. According to that word, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee, for Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. Psalm 9:9-10. I gave myself, therefore, earnestly to prayer concerning all these three especial difficulties which had arisen. I'm not be discouraged by difficulties, however great and many and varied, but give himself to prayer, trusting in the Lord for help, yea, expecting help, which, in His own time and way, He will surely grant. How abundantly God answered our prayers, and how plain it is, that we were not mistaken, after we had patiently and prayerfully sought to ascertain His will. Be encouraged, therefore, yet further and further to confide in the living God. The north wind is changed into a south wind. At last I determined on falling entirely into the hands of God, who is very merciful and of tender compassion, and I decided on having the brick chamber opened, to see the extent of the damage, and whether the boiler might be repaired, so as to carry us through the winter. Editor's note: they already were in winter. The day was fixed, when the workmen were to come, and all the necessary arrangements were made. The fire, of course, had to be let out while the repairs were going on. But now see, what was to be done? The repairs could not be put off. I now asked the Lord for two things, viz., that He would be pleased to change the north wind into a south wind, and that He would give to the workmen a mind to work, for I remembered how much Nehemiah accomplished in 52 days, whilst building the walls of Jerusalem, because the people had a mind to work. Well, the memorable day came. The evening before, the bleak north wind blew still, but, on the Wednesday, the south wind blew, exactly as I had prayed. The weather was so mild that no fire was needed. The brickwork is removed, the leak is found out very soon, the boiler makers begin to repair in good earnest. We would rather, sir, said the leader, work all night. Then remembered I the second part of my prayer, that God would give the men a mind to work. Thus it was, by the morning the repair was accomplished, the leak was stopped, though with great difficulty, and within about 30 hours the brickwork was up again, and the fire in the boiler, and all the time the south wind blew so mildly, that there was not the least need of a fire. Here, then, is one of our difficulties which was overcome by prayer and faith. Conversion of the Orphans. May 26, 1860. Day after day, and year after year, by the help of God, we labor in prayer for the spiritual benefit of the orphans under our care. These are supplications, which have been for 24 years brought before the Lord concerning them, have been abundantly answered, in former years, in the conversion of hundreds from among them. We have, also, had repeated seasons in which, within a short time, or even all at once, many of the orphans were converted. Such a season we had about 3 years since, when, within a few days, about 60 were brought to believe in the Lord Jesus, and such seasons we have had again twice during the first year. The first was in July, 1859, when the Spirit of God wrought so mightily in one school of 120 girls, as that very many, yea more than one half, were brought under deep concern about the salvation of their souls. This work, moreover, was not a mere momentary excitement, but, after more than 11 months have elapsed, there are 31 concerning whom there is full confidence as to their conversion, and 32 concerning whom there is likewise a goodly measure of confidence, though not to the same amount, as regarding the 31. There are therefore 63 out of the 120 orphans in that one school who are considered to have been converted in July, 1859. This blessed and mighty work of the Holy Spirit cannot be traced to any particular cause. It was, however, a most precious answer to prayer. As such we look upon it, and are encouraged by it to further waiting upon God. The second season of The Mighty Working of the Holy Spirit Among the Orphans, during the past year, was at the end of January and the beginning of February, 1860. The particulars of it are of the deepest interest, but I must content myself by stating that this great work of the Spirit of God in January and February, 1860, began among the younger class of the children under our care, little girls of about 6, 7, 8 and 9 years old, then extended to the older girls, and then to the boys, so that within about 10 days above 200 of the orphans were stirred up to be anxious about their souls, and in many instances found peace immediately, through faith in our Lord Jesus. They at once requested to be allowed to hold prayer meetings among themselves, and have had these meetings ever since. Many of them also manifested a concern about the salvation of their companions and relations, and spoke or wrote to them, about the way to be saved. We again gave ourselves to prayer, as we had done for more than 20 years before, concerning this thing, instead of advertising, which, in all probability, would only bring before us masters who desire apprentices for the sake of the premium. We remembered how good the Lord had been to us, and having helped us hundreds of times before, in this very matter. Some weeks passed, but the difficulty remained. We continued, however, in prayer, and then one application was made, and then another, and since we first began to pray about this matter, last summer, we have been able to send out altogether 18 boys. The difficulty was thus again entirely overcome by prayer, as every one of the boys, whom it was desirable to send out, has been sent out. Sickness at times visited the houses. During the summer and autumn of 1866 we had also the measles at all the three orphan houses. After they had made their appearance, our especial prayer was, 1. That there might not be too many children ill at one time in this disease, so that our accommodation in the infirmary rooms or otherwise might be sufficient. This prayer was answered to the full, for though we had at the new orphan house number 1 not less than 83 cases, in number 2 altogether 111, and in number 3 altogether 68, yet God so graciously was pleased to listen to our supplications, as that when our spare rooms were filled with the invalids, He so long stayed the spreading of the measles till a sufficient number were restored, so as to make room for others, who were taken ill. 2. Further we prayed, that the children, who were taken ill in the measles, might be safely brought through and not die. Thus it was. We had the full answer to our prayers, for though 262 children altogether had the measles, not one of them died. 3. Lastly we prayed, that no evil physical consequences might follow this disease, as is so often the case. This was also granted. All the 262 children not only recovered, but did well afterwards. I gratefully record this signal mercy and blessing of God, and this full and precious answer to prayer, to the honor of His name. I wrote therefore a check for £280, though I would have gladly sent £476, yet felt thankful, at the same time, that I had this amount in hand for these brethren. Having written the check, as the last occupation of the day, then came my usual season for prayer, for the many things which I daily, by the help of God, bring before Him, and then again, I brought also the case of these preachers of the gospel before the Lord, and besought Him that He would even now be pleased to give me yet a goodly sum for them, though there remained but 3 days to the close of our year. This being done, I went home about 9 o'clock in the evening, and found there had arrived from a great distance £100 for missions, with £100 left at my disposal, and £5 for myself. I took, therefore, the whole £200 for missions, and thus had £480 in hand to meet the £476 which I desired for this object. Those who know the blessedness of really trusting in God, and getting help from Him, as in this case, in answer to prayer, will be able to enter into the spiritual enjoyment I had in the reception of that donation, in which both the answer to prayer was granted, and with it the great enjoyment of gladdening the hearts of many devoted servants of Christ. This donation of £1,000 came to hand, for mission work in China. This precious answer to prayer for means should be a particular encouragement to all who are engaged in the Lord's work, and who may need means for it. It proves afresh that, if our work is His work, and we honor Him, by waiting upon and looking to Him for means, He will surely, in His own time and way, supply them. This Christian gentleman, whom I have never seen, and who is engaged in a very large business in London, had sent me several times before a similar sum. A day or two before I received this last kind donation, I had asked the Lord, that He would be pleased to influence the heart of the donor to help me again, which I had never done before regarding him, and thus I had the double answer to prayer, in that not only money came in, but money from him. The reader will now see the meaning in the donor's letter, when he wrote, "I believe that it is through the Lord's actings upon me that I enclose you a check." Verily it was the Lord who acted upon this gentleman, to send me this sum. He undertook the long journey, and I had an interview with him, through which I saw his most trying position in business. Having fully conversed with him, I gave him the following counsel: 1. That he should day by day, expressly for the purpose, retire with his Christian wife, that they might unitedly spread their business difficulties before God in prayer, and do this, if possible, twice a day. 2. That he should look out for answers to his prayers, and expect that God would help him. 3. That he should avoid all business trickeries, and that, if he did so, he could not reckon on the blessing of God. 4. I advised him further, to set apart, out of his profits, week by week, a certain proportion for the work of God, whether his income was much or little, and use this income faithfully for the Lord. The reader will feel interested to learn that his returns had been about £2,529 more than the year before, and he had been enabled to put aside during the previous year about £124 for the work of God or the need of the poor. The spiritual condition of the orphans generally gave to us great sorrow of heart, because there were so few, comparatively, among them, who were in earnest about their souls, and resting on the atoning death of the Lord Jesus for salvation. This our sorrow led us who lay it on the whole staff of assistants, matrons and teachers, to seek earnestly the Lord's blessing on the souls of the children. This was done in our united prayer meetings, and, I have reason to believe, in secret also, and in answer to these our secret and united prayers, in the, next, year 1872, there were, as the result of this, more believers by far among the orphans than ever. In the new orphan house number 3, it showed itself least, till it pleased the Lord to lay His hand heavily on that house, by the small box, and, from that time the working of the Holy Spirit was felt in that house also. At the end of July, 1872, I received the statements of all the matrons and teachers in the 5 houses, who reported to me, that, after careful observation and conversation, they had good reason to believe that 729 of the orphans then under our care, were believers in the Lord Jesus. This number of believing orphans is by far greater than ever we had, for which we adore and praise the Lord. See how the Lord overruled the great trial, occasioned by the smallpox, and turned it into a great blessing. See, also, how, after so low a state, comparatively, which led us to prayer, earnest prayer, the working of the Holy Spirit was more manifest than ever. A godly city missionary came to me one day, greatly tried, because he had 6 sons, for whose conversion he had been praying many years, and yet they remained unconcerned about their souls, and he desired me to tell him what to do. My reply was, "Continue to pray for your sons, and expect an answer to your prayer, and you will have to praise God." Now, when after 6 years I was again in the same city, this dear man came to me and said he was surprised he had not seen before himself what he ought to do, and that he had resolved to take my advice and more earnestly than ever give himself to prayer. 2 months after he saw me, 5 of his 6 sons were converted within 8 days, and have for 6 years now walked in the ways of the Lord, and he had hoped that the 6th son also was beginning to be concerned about his state before God. May the Christian reader be encouraged by this, should his prayers not at once be answered, and, instead of ceasing to pray, wait upon God all the more earnestly and perseveringly, and expect answers to his petitions. It had been laid on my heart, and on the hearts of some other brethren among us, to ask the Lord that He would be pleased to honor us, as a body of believers, by calling forth from our midst brethren, for carrying the truth into foreign lands. But this prayer seemed to remain unanswered. Now, however, the time was come when the Lord was about to answer it, and I, on whose heart particularly this matter had been laid, was to be the first to carry forth the truth from among us. About that very time the Lord called our dear brother and sister Barrington, when we asked God for a thing, such as that He would be pleased to raise up laborers for His harvest, or send means for the carrying on of His work, the honest question to be put to our hearts should be this: Am I willing to go, if He should call me? Am I willing to give according to my ability? For we may be the very persons whom the Lord will call for the work, or whose means He may wish to employ. From our own midst, as a church, the Scriptural Knowledge Institution, in 1896, 60 brethren and sisters have gone forth to foreign fields of labor, some of whom have finished their labor on earth, but there are still about 40 yet engaged in this precious service. Why should not the great and crying need for workers in Asia, Africa, and other parts of the world be thus met by thousands of churches in Europe and America following this divine plan of praying the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers from among them? Surely they may expect God to answer their prayers as He did the prayers of this Bristol church. For the obtaining of fellow workers we took the Master's direction, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest." As for the first 5 before the mission was formed, so for the 24 for whom we first asked for the CIM, for further reinforcements when they were needed, for the 70 in 3 years, for the 100 in 1 year, and for further additions from time to time, we have ever relied on this plan. Is it possible that in any other way such a band of workers from nearly every denomination, and from many lands, could have been gathered and kept together for 30 years with no other bond save that which the call of God and the love of God has proved? A band now numbering over 700 men and women, aided by more than 500 native workers. Hudson Taylor, 1897. In no degree the honor is due to the instruments, but to the Holy Spirit alone, yet these facts are stated, in order that it may be seen, what delight God has in answering abundantly the believing prayer of His children. Editor's note: George Muller shows the ordering of God in his meeting with and subsequent marriage to his first wife, Mary Groves. In giving her to me, I own the hand of God, nay, His hand was most marked, and my soul says, Thou art good, and doest good. I saw, for many reasons, that it was better for me, as a young pastor, under 25 years of age, to be married. The question now was, to whom shall I be united? Miss Groves was before my mind, but the prayerful conflict was long, before I came to a decision, for I could not bear the thought that I should take away from Mr. Haig this valued helper, as Mrs. Haig continued still unable to take the responsibility of so large a household. But I prayed again and again. At last this decided me. I had reason to believe that I had begotten an affection in the heart of Miss Groves for me, and that therefore I ought to make a proposal of marriage to her, however unkindly I might appear to act to my dear friend and brother Mr. Haig, and to ask God to give him a suitable helper to succeed Miss Groves. On August 15, 1830, I therefore wrote to her, proposing to her to become my wife, and on August 19, when I went over as usual to Exeter for preaching, she accepted me. The first thing we did, after I was accepted, was to fall on our knees, and to ask the blessing of the Lord on our intended union. In about 2 or 3 weeks the Lord, in answer to prayer, found an individual who seemed suitable to act as housekeeper, whilst Mrs. Haig continued ill, and on October 7, 1830, we were united in marriage. Our marriage was of the most simple character. We walked to church, had no wedding breakfast, but in the afternoon had a meeting of Christian friends in Mr. Haig's house and commemorated the Lord's death, and then I drove off in the stagecoach with my beloved bride to Teignmouth, and the next day we went to work for the Lord. Simple as our beginning was, and unlike the habits of the world, for Christ's sake, so our godly aim has been, to continue ever since. Let me here add a word of Christian counsel. To enter upon the marriage union is one of the most deeply important events of life. It cannot be too prayerfully treated. Our happiness, our usefulness, our living for God or for ourselves afterwards, are often most intimately connected with our choice. Therefore, in the most prayerful manner, this choice should be made. Neither beauty, nor age, nor money, nor mental powers, should be that which prompt the decision, but first, much waiting upon God for guidance should be used, second, a hearty purpose, to be willing to be guided by Him should be aimed after. Third, true godliness without a shadow of doubt, should be the first and absolutely needful qualification, to a Christian, with regard to a companion for life. In addition to this, however, it ought to be, at the same time, calmly and patiently weighed, whether, in other respects, there is a suitableness. Parents know what an only child, a beloved child is, and what to believing parents an only child, a believing child must be. Well, the Father in heaven said, as it were, by this His dispensation, art thou willing to give up this child to me? My heart responded, as it seems good to thee, my heavenly Father. Thy will be done. But as our hearts were made willing to give back our beloved child to Him who had given her to us, so He was ready to leave her to us, and she lived. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Psalm 37:4. The desires of my heart were, to retain the beloved daughter if it were the will of God, the means to retain her were to be satisfied with the will of the Lord. Of all the trials of faith that as yet I have had to pass through, this was the greatest, and by God's abundant mercy, I own it to His praise, I was enabled to delight myself in the will of God, for I felt perfectly sure, that, if the Lord took this beloved daughter, it would be best for her parents, best for herself, and more for the glory of God than if she lived. This better part I was satisfied fault with, and thus my heart had peace, perfect peace, and I had not a moment's anxiety. My soul said, I will now look out for the way in which the Lord will deliver us this day again, for He will surely deliver. Many Saturdays, when we were in need, He helped us, and so He will do this day also. Between 9 and 10 o'clock this morning I gave myself to prayer for means, with three of my fellow laborers, in my house. While we were in prayer, there was a knock at my room door, and I was informed that a gentleman had come to see me. When we had finished prayer, it was found to be a brother from Tetbury, who had brought from Barnstaple, for the orphans, looking to the Lord for more. Only one farthing was in my hands this morning. Pause a moment, dear reader. Only one farthing in hand when the day commenced. Think of this, and think of nearly 140 persons to be provided for. You, poor brethren, who have six or eight children and small wages, think of this, and you, my brethren, who do not belong to the working classes, but have, as it is called, very limited means, think of this. May you not do, what we do, under your trials. Does the Lord love you less than He loves us? Does He not love all His children with no less love than that, with which He loves His only begotten Son, according to John 20:20-23? Or are we better than you? Nay, are we not in ourselves poor miserable sinners as you are, and have any of the children of God any claim upon God, on account of their own worthiness? Is not that, which alone can make us worthy to receive anything from our heavenly Father, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, which is imputed to those who believe in Him? Therefore, dear reader, as we pray in our every need, of whatever character it may be, in connection with this work, to our Father in heaven for help, and as He does help us, so is He willing to help all His children who put their trust in Him. It was the coldest morning we have had the whole winter. In my morning walk for prayer and meditation I thought how well I was supplied with coals, nourishing food, and warm clothing, and how many of the dear children of God might be in need, and I lifted up my heart to God to give me more means for myself, that I might be able, by actions, to show more abundant sympathy with the poor believers in their need, and it was but 3 hours after when I received this £10 for myself. I prayed for means for present use, though not confining my prayers to that. About a quarter of an hour after I had risen from my knees, I received a letter, with an order for £5. The donor writes, that it is the proceeds of a strip of land, sold to the railway company. What various means does the Lord employ to send us help, in answer to our prayers? Answers to Prayer. Editor's Note: with the enlargement of the work, by which some 330 persons needed to be provided for, the trials of faith continued. Mr. Muller writes, if we formerly had no certain income, so now have we none. We have to look to God for everything in connection with the work, of which often, however, the pecuniary necessities are the smallest matter, but to Him we are enabled to look, and therefore it is, that we are not disappointed. Though much had come in, since the commencement of this new period, yet our expenses had been greater than our income, as every donation almost of which the disposal was left with me, had been put to the building fund. Thus the balance in hand, notwithstanding the large income since then, was reduced to about £8. I therefore gave myself particularly to prayer for means, that this small sum might be increased. This morning Luke 7 came in the course of my reading before breakfast. While reading the account about the centurion and the raising from death the widow's son at Nain, I lifted up my heart to the Lord Jesus thus, Lord Jesus, Thou hast the same power now. Thou canst provide me with means for Thy work in my hands. Be pleased to do so. About half an hour afterwards I received £230.15. The joy which such answers to prayer afford, cannot be described. I was determined to wait upon God only, and not to work an unscriptural deliverance for myself. I have thousands of pounds for the building fund, but I would not take of this sum because it was once set apart for that object. I would not thus step out of God's way of obtaining help. At the very time when this donation arrived, I had packed up £100 which I happened to have in hand, received for the building fund, in order to take it to the bank, as I was determined not to touch it, but to wait upon God. My soul does magnify the Lord for His goodness.